Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know, who guide and inspire, to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Alice Starr, volunteer, philanthropic leader, businesswoman, and First Lady of Baylor University. Hosting the conversation is Sandy Sanchez, Assistant Opinion Editor for the Waco Tribune-Herald. This conversation was taped in the studio of KWBU, March 5th, 2012.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune-Herald. Today I have the privilege of speaking with Alice Starr, wife of Baylor University President Ken Starr. In the year and a half since the Starrs have come to Waco, they have made considerable impact on the university and our community. Alice has a long list of accomplishments to her credit here and in other towns. She's a tireless volunteer and philanthropic leader. She is a respected businesswoman who has served on several nationally known boards, and she has dedicated her adult life to helping the sick, disabled, mentoring students, and promoting the arts. Welcome, Alice. We're so glad to have you today.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you.
Now, you have lived in Waco since 2010, so let me start off by asking you, how have your views about Central Texas changed since you've been here? Have you been surprised at all by the community?
Well, just about every day I meet someone who asks us, how could you move from Malibu, California to Waco, Texas? And I can honestly say, and I do respond, this is the friendliest community we've ever lived in and the most cultured. And people are shocked to hear that. But people in Waco are very intelligent, well-educated. They love the arts. And we've just had a ball since we've been here because everybody on the campus, of course, is so nice and so informed. But we also find that people in the community are equally wonderful, and we've enjoyed getting to know people here in Waco.
Now, you came from Pepperdine University, and cultural arts has always been very important to you, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Have you met people here in Waco that inspire you to step up to help, say, with cultural arts, with some of these other nonprofit organizations that you are involved in? Tell me what gets you going. What makes you want to work so hard to be part of the community?
Well, I've always been involved in the arts. In fact, I served on the Virginia Commission for the Arts, and I was the president of a visual arts center in McLean, Virginia. We did get involved in the arts in Los Angeles, but really, since we've come here, we love the theater at Baylor and the music at Baylor, so we're very involved in that, and I've been very inspired by Stan Denman, who is the director of the theater at Baylor. But I also serve on the Waco Symphony board, and Kay Olson is a tremendous leader, an inspiring leader. And this being the 50th anniversary of the Waco Symphony, we have been treated to the best possible concerts that anybody could have in any city. We've loved going to each and every one of them, and we try to bring guests with us to introduce them to the arts and to the music here, right here in Waco.
Now, do you have any big plans for this upcoming year with your involvement with the symphony?
We're finishing out the 50th year, and Stephen Heide, who is the director of the orchestra here at Baylor, is also the conductor of the symphony. So he is the plans. I'm not really involved in what music they choose or what special guests they choose. But I am involved at Baylor in trying to create an arts district. We want to combine the visual and the performing arts so that when someone comes to a concert or to a play, they also can go to our museum and see the wonderful works of paintings and sculpture that we have here at Baylor. So this is a project for the future that I will be working on.
You have a deep-seated passion for the arts. What drives you? Have you always loved the arts so much?
I have. I've always been musical. I have no talent in art, but I have a great appreciation for it. And when I went to college, I took an art appreciation course. I went down to New York City, and we visited every museum in New York. And I just from a professor who showed us how to see art, I grew to love it and admire it, even though I can't paint a thing.
Tell me a little bit about the Arts District. What do you envision?
Well, we envision taking the buildings that we now have. We have a theater and we have a musical hall, and then creating sort of a canopy over that, a new museum for the arts, because we don't have a large enough museum right now to show off the permanent collection we have, and we hope to enlarge our permanent collection. And it would be indoors area that people could go even in the summer when it's 100 degrees out and enjoy just walking through and admiring the sculpture and the arts, but also being able to attend musicals and theater at Baylor. So we have many concerts. Almost every night there's a concert here, and we try to go when we can. We enjoy it so much. The students are very, very talented, but so is the faculty. And the faculty has recitals, and they have wonderful concerts as well. So I wish we could go to everything. We try to go when we can, but we want the community to know that they're very much invited to these as well, and a lot of the community does come and participate.
I guess one of the perks of being the First Lady on campus is you do get invitations to all these premium events, right?
Well, sometimes we just seek them out. I'll look in the newspaper in the Waco Trib, and I'll see what Baylor has to offer, the lectures and the concerts. And we also get invited to our arts events in the community as well, and that's great fun for us.
Some of the other activities that you're involved in locally, the Greater Waco Education Alliance, you and Judge Starr also help read to children, is that correct? Mentor to children? Tell us about that.
We read to a child last year at J.H. Hines School, and that program was disbanded this year. They're really trying now to connect through mentoring, and so we have not been assigned a student yet, but we do hope to continue working with one student at a time, being able to mentor them not only in the school but take them out and show them Baylor and parts of the Waco community that maybe they haven't had a chance to see before.
When you say you read to a student, did you read to them to the student weekly or monthly?
Yes, weekly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And why is it important to be a mentor figure to a child? What do you think a child can receive from something like that?
Well, we have three children and six grandchildren, and we know how important that the time is that you spend individually with each child. They have time in the classroom, but there might be 20 or 30 in their class, and they don't receive the individual attention they need and reinforcement and encouragement that you get from the one-on-one situation. So you can really only help one child at a time, and if everybody was a mentor and everybody chose either an adult who needs help with their literacy training or a child, we would have a better and more informed community.
You mentioned you have six grandchildren. You have three grown children, and you and Judge Starr have been married 41 years, correct?
That's correct.
So how does being a wife and a mother and a grandmother factor into what drives you to volunteer and help other people?
Well, we are now empty nesters, I'm happy to say. All our children are grown and have even graduated from college, and that gives me the opportunity to get more involved with other families, other children. And one of the local organizations that I've really enjoyed getting involved with is Caritas, which helps those who are in dire need and need just a special leg up by getting some emergency supplies or help with their rent. And so I have the time now. When the kids were growing up, I worked and I also raised the children, and we went to every sporting event and all, and I didn't have as much time, but I did try to get involved in the community even then because I wanted to set a good example for our children.
Tell me about Caritas of Waco. What are you actually doing for them, and what would you like to do? Where would you like to see that group go?
Well, Caritas has been here for a long time helping with emergency needs, but they need to grow and expand the space they have because there are so many people who are in need of these supplies and their help. So they just they have a capital campaign. I think it's $1.75 million, and they asked me to be the honorary chair. And this is to expand the existing space and bring it up to code. It's an old space, and they're trying to renovate it and bring it up to code. It's not a huge campaign, and guess what? We're almost there. I think we only have $175,000 to go, and I plan to help them every step of the way.
I interviewed you when you first moved here for a Waco Today article. And at the time, you told me that some of your favorite work is for nonprofits. You said, quote, "I just love that work, and I found that most people do not like fundraising, and I enjoy it." You just supported that with your statement of the capital campaign for Caritas. Explain that to us, because for many people, fundraising is not easy work. How do you do it?
Well, I don't like to do it either. I don't think anybody truly, if you ask them, do you like to ask people for money? And the answer is no. But it's part and parcel of working for a nonprofit. I ended up chairing six different nonprofits in Northern Virginia, including the Library Foundation, an arts organization, and several others. And it went hand in hand. In order for the organization to exist and do a good job, they have to raise money. So I was asked to do it, and I did it. And I feel that you have to ask people, or they're not going to give. So that's that's my motto. If you don't ask, you will not get any help for your organization.
Well, hold that thought, and we'll explore that a little bit more. For those of you who are just joining in, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald, talking today with Baylor University First Lady Alice Starr. Now, Alice, you mentioned that previously before coming to Waco, you have been involved in many different organizations, and I just kind of wanted to run down some of the different groups. Child Help USA, which assists victims of several child abuse. Songfest, a summer arts program at Pepperdine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate and Gardens. Medical Care for Children's Partnership. It was a provided medical dental care for children in Fairfax, Virginia, where I'm from. And you were even chair of the Fairfax County Library. Since being here, you are a member of the Baylor Roundtable Executive Board.
Right. That's a Baylor organization, and it's all women. It's both present and past senior executives, faculty members at Baylor that get together for cultural and reasons, but also to get to know one another and have a good time. It's a good team building effort, and I have been involved. I'm on the program committee, and I help find some of the speakers and put events together. Last year, we had a San Jacinto Day party on April 21st, and we had more fun. We went in our backyard and whooped it up with some cowboy boots and cowboy hats and had a good time. And this year, we're going to repeat that, and we've invited Clifton Robinson to be our special guest and reenact Sam Houston's time at the Alamo and other, and he knows so much history, and so we thought we'd repeat this every year as a fun way to get the faculty and staff together.
Again. And he has the cowboy hat to go with it
as
well.
He does, and the history.
You've also been involved with Waco's Meals and Wheels, which you were involved with before. And from what we had talked, this is very dear to your heart. Tell us a little bit about what you do for them.
Well, I try to get involved with the least of these in each community that we serve and are privileged to be in. And, of course, senior citizens who are shut-ins and can't get out need a way to exist. And Meals and Wheels is the best organization that helps provide assistance to senior citizens who are living on Social Security but can't get out because they're not physically able to. So their meals are delivered each and every day. And they are so appreciative of this, and they love meeting the people and the drivers who come deliver their meals. It's a very special bonding between the community and these seniors.
You give a lot, but it sounds like you also get a lot from these ventures.
Absolutely. There's no question that you get much more out of giving than receiving, and I've always felt that way. So it's great fun for me to be involved in the community.
It's rewarding.
Definitely rewarding. I don't do it for remuneration. I'm the first lady at Baylor, and I do not get paid, but I'm very involved in Baylor projects as well. And try to help my husband as a partner. But luckily I'm able to do that, and, you know, we're able to exist on one salary right now.
How would you encourage someone out there listening who perhaps wants to get involved or take on a leadership role or just a volunteer role? What would you say to them to make that first step?
Well, I always encourage students who are having a hard time getting a job, go out and volunteer. And you, if you do a good job and you do more than they ask you to, but actually are very helpful, you'll find that you will have many job offers. I've always worked, and all my jobs came through volunteering.
I had a priest once tell me that if you want something done, give it to a busy person.
I think that's true. You have to budget your time, but somehow you make time. I don't require a lot of sleep, so I stay up till about 2 every night working on different projects.
Professionally, you also have quite a resume that we need to take a moment to talk about here. You were vice president for a large commercial real estate firm for 16 years. You also run your own marketing company called Star Strategies, which I believe originated in California, and you brought it here to Texas. So on top of everything we've talked about, you're an executive. How do you make all this work?
Well, I haven't. My business is to help nonprofits with marketing, public relations, and fundraising. And I continue to do that. But since moving to Baylor, I haven't charged for that. I just do it as a volunteer. I serve on 12 boards now in outside of Waco and a couple here in Waco. And I just – it gives me great joy to help them. What organizations don't realize, one of the ways I'm helping Baylor is the nursing school up in Dallas is not well known, and yet it's one of the best nursing schools in the country. So we're working together to create an event in April where we're calling it the Going for the Gold Gala to put the nursing school on the map. And we have Coach Kim Mulkey as our keynote speaker. Troy Aikman will be introducing her, and we have Trey Wingo, a Baylor grad who serves at ESPN, to be our MC, and that will put our nursing school on the map. We're inviting the entire Dallas community. And what people don't understand is that by having these major events, and they're really fun to put on, and if you can get sponsors, you will not only make some money doing it and have fun doing it, but the public relations you get out of sending out 8,000 invitations to the Dallas community is invaluable. So what I try to do is help create unique and creative and innovative events that help an organization get their name out in the community.
So how did you pick the Baylor Nursing School? I mean, how did you plug into that? Did you just see the need when you
came? I saw the need, and my husband also encouraged me to do that. He said, Alice, please, this would be a great thing for you to help with. And I love the nursing school. It's just terrific. And when our son had twins in Dallas 7 months ago, they were at the Baylor Hospital. And I said, Randy, have you asked where the nurses went to school? And it turned out every one of the nurses that they love so much, who were so helpful to them, came from Baylor. They were so compassionate, caring, and knowledgeable. And it's a great nursing school.
Do you see that you have a gift in giving to communities? I'm trying to pick apart your brain and figure out what really makes you tick, and take that ingredient to try to and inspire others. I mean, what makes you stay up till 2 in the morning working and not really getting paid?
Well, that's a good question. I've been asked that before, and quite frankly, growing up, I was very shy, painfully shy, and it really wasn't until I met my husband after my freshman year in college that I got the confidence to feel that I could help others in the community and go out. I grew up in an upper middle class home, so I wasn't lacking for the necessities, and I just felt privileged and that I should share whatever gifts that I have with others in the community. So everywhere we've lived, and we've lived all over the country, North Carolina and Florida and Washington, D.C. for 29 years, California, I've always gotten involved in the community. And I get a lot in return. As you mentioned before, I probably get more in return than I do from giving. But it's a natural thing for both my husband Ken and I to get involved in the communities where we live.
It sounds like you've found your voice, that you've kind of grown into the role over the years.
I think that's true. I think you pick and choose which organizations you want to get involved in. Obviously, you can't be involved in everything. But we meet the nicest, most wonderful people by getting involved in the community.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune-Herald, talking today with Alice Starr. Now, your husband is president of Baylor University. It is a Christian university, so I wanted to take a moment to kind of ask you about that. Do you have a deep-seated faith or religion that helps to drive you? Does that help to direct some of your community service ventures?
Yes. Over the years, I've developed a deep-seated faith, and I'm very pleased that Baylor has kept its Christian mission over the years. Very few universities have done that. And I think it's important for the faculty and the administrators and the students that Christian faith is what drives it and why it's such a giving community. So, yes, faith plays a big part.
Now, you and Judge Starr met. You were actually you grew up in a Jewish household, correct? In
it was actually a non-religious household.
Okay, in Mamaroneck, New York.
Mamaroneck, New York.
Okay.
Right, about a half an hour out of New York City.
You attended Skidmore College, and
that's in Saratoga Springs, New York, upstate New York.
Mm-hmm. And you met Judge Starr at Harvard University, and apparently he was the first Texan you had ever met.
That's correct. We met the summer of 1968, and we were both in Spanish class at Harvard Summer School, and we met on the first day, and I can't say I learned as much Spanish as I had hoped to that summer, but he was the friendliest, nicest person I had ever met in my life, and I had never met anybody from Texas before, you're right.
Well, how do you feel about Texans now?
Love it. Well, I've been coming here for 43 years, so it's a wonderful community.
Baylor's announced some ambitious plans possibly to build a $250 million football stadium on the banks of the Brazos River, develop that corridor, expansion of the Baylor Research Collaborative, the BRIC, and a multi-million dollar scholarship fundraising initiative. Are you part of these plans? Are you involved in any of this, or how do you feel about these initiatives?
Well, I'm definitely involved in that. I'm a big cheerleader, and I think we need to house the Heisman. That's what I call the stadium campaign. I think our alumni and our students are very, very excited about the architectural drawing that they came up with, and now it's just a question of doing the fundraising. With such a great team this year and RG3 being a role model and a great spokesman for the university, I think it will happen. I think everybody's very excited. And that way, when alumni come back, they'll also be able to participate on campus. And we think the community will also come to the new stadium because it'll be right on I-35, very easy to get to. That's exciting. The scholarship initiative is the first initiative of my husband and the most important, he feels. It's key to enrolling the best and the brightest students at Baylor. And we've made great progress. We're on our way to $50 million of that $100 million. We certainly would love for more people to rise up for that campaign. And then one thing you didn't mention is we also would like to build a business school. We are bursting at the seams in our present business school, and so they are talking to many donors about that. So I'm not initiating any of these campaigns, but I certainly support them, and I go with my husband on some of these visits, and we get to know people who might want to give back to Baylor, which is absolutely wonderful.
Well, and there's that discussion about fundraising again. How do you encourage people of the importance of opening their wallets and giving, of seeing the big picture in the future and how it can benefit an institution or a community? I mean, how do you have that conversation?
Well, I think when especially alumni see the progress that Baylor is making in research, the BRIC is an example of that, in great teaching, in getting the brightest students in the country, and in sports, quite frankly, having spirit on a campus is so key. And the great sporting teams bring people back to campus much more often. They're coming to the Lady Bears game. They're filling the stands. It's so wonderful. So basically, I think by creating the best university and the biggest Baptist university in the world, people want to give back. And it's just a question of creating the opportunity to do so.
Well, this must have been a fascinating year to be part of Baylor, RG3 winning the Heisman. We've had so many academic successes as well. Did you go to New York City for the Heisman Trophy?
We were up there to see the Lady Bears play a basketball game against St. John's at Madison Square Garden. So we were there that weekend anyway, and we had planned to entertain about 250 alumni from the area with the Lady Bears. Well, when we heard that RG3 was a candidate for the Heisman, that happened to be taking place across the street from our hotel. So Ken and I were able to get last-minute passes and actually see him get the Heisman. It was a huge thrill for us. And on the way into the theater, where all the 250 alumni who were gathering to see the Lady Bears, and there was Kim Mulkey on the back of her players cheering on RG3. So we had the whole team there, 250 alumni, all cheering for RG3. It was a great, great occasion. And Ken and I were witnesses to history for Baylor. So
that sounds so exciting. I went and covered some of the student watching parties, and you couldn't even hear the television set because every time they showed Robert Griffin's face, everyone just cheered. And there's so much pride that I think not only the students but the alumni, the community exuded from that experience.
That's absolutely right. And he took a team that did not have a great defense, was struggling all year, and he was able to turn into 10 victories, including the Alamo Bowl. That is a huge effort. I think it just sets such a good example for people in every area, that even if they're not good in sports, if they're good in something else, to keep striving and try as hard as you can. And then he had such a winning personality. He still does. He's always coming back to Baylor. He's promoting Baylor, but not promoting himself. If you recall, he accepted that wonderful trophy on behalf of Baylor. And that's the kind of guy he is, and we hope he always stays that way, no matter what pro football team he ends up on.
Sometimes being humble has far greater benefits than being boastful.
That's right. That's right. And I think he truly is humble and appreciative of his parents and the upbringing he had. And what it means to put in hard work. He's been a very hard worker, both in the classroom and out on the field.
Do you think those beliefs are part of the Christian tenet that's kind of expressed or emphasized at Baylor? Giving back to humanity, being humble, appreciative?
Absolutely. Baylor students have an opportunity to study abroad, but also go on more than, I think, 80 different mission trips that they have each year. And I was privileged to go with 70 students to Kenya last year, and I could just see in the hearts of each of these students their desire to give back and to not just go to Kenya, but to really work with these wonderful, humble people and see what they could do to help them even once we got back to Baylor. And we are. We're helping some of these students and some of the adults that we met even today.
You think that plants a seed in their heart that makes them want to long to help people later in life?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it.
Well, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and best of luck with all the efforts that you have going on right now and planned for the future. Any last-minute words, any last-minute things that you would like to tell us about that you have?
No, I just want to say thank you to the Waco community for being so welcoming to Ken and me. We really feel very welcomed and loved, but we want to love you back and let us know how we can help. We love Baylor. It's got a great mission and a great future.
All right. Well, thank you, Alice.
Thank you.
This has been the KWBU Leadership Series, and we've been speaking today with Alice Starr, First Lady of Baylor University. I'm Sandra Sanchez of the Waco Tribune-Herald.